Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
If you don't know, my name is Pastor Kirk. It's great to meet you. I am the youth pastor here at Waterhouse Church. It is a pleasure to be bringing the word to you this morning. And on that, I'm going to ask if Miss Debbie Phillips would join me on stage. If you would all rise with me, we are going to be reading out of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 24 through verse 27.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go into sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died to save us and that we can follow through and do what you ask us to do, to gather together and to live for you, to tell others. Lord, I just thank you, and I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
This morning, I want to talk to you guys about community. If you couldn't tell between communion and even that second to last song we sang, All Hail King Jesus, there's this connectedness, this togetherness that we want to talk about today, because today is the launch of our small groups. It's the launch of our seasonal and our life groups, and we are super excited about them, and we're going to have a moment where we kind of have our seasonal groups come through, and I'll explain those here in a moment, and our life groups have some videos to show, and I'll explain the difference between the two brief and momentarily. But today we're talking about community. We're talking about what it means to be in community. And we're going to start somewhere really easy for you guys. And I'm going to try not to end as quite as fire and brimstone as you might expect with a verse like Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. But I promise it will be good. Community within the church. Community within a church. When we talk about church, there's a bunch of different memories or things that you might think of when it comes to church. But it's good to remember just a recap the benefits of meeting together as a congregation of believers. Perhaps you were gone for the summer and you've come back and you're like, you know, I don't know. I was kind of missing something. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed being at church. Well, there's a reason for that. Perhaps this is your first time to church and it's a great time to start because you get to learn firsthand what we're talking about when we're talking about the benefit of being in church. Or perhaps you've come a few times, but you're just not sure if you want to stick around. I hope today is an encouragement for you. Yes. Community within a church. Worship. Church worship. What exactly is, what is that? What does it look like? Worship is a central piece of the gathering of believers, and it always has been. We see throughout Scripture, when believers gathered together, they gathered for the sake of lifting up the name of the Lord. They gathered together to worship God, to worship Yahweh. When they came together, it was always in this moment of worship. In my high school church, there was this balcony. You had this floor area and then this balcony, and you could sit up in the balcony and maybe all the other high schoolers, I enjoyed sitting in the balcony. But I enjoyed sitting in the balcony because I enjoyed being able to see the entire worship team and then be able to see the choir loft as people were singing out. And I just felt like the worship sounded better from the balcony. And even more than just the worship team, I could easily see everyone and the congregation on the floor worshiping. There was something encouraging about looking over the railing and stressing my mom out a little bit, but looking over the railing and seeing everybody there. There were multiple times I was kind of like, you know, this railing comes up to like mid-thigh, and I'm not a super big guy. I was like, there's not a lot of safety here. But we just look out over the congregation, and I loved hearing the congregation worship. It was encouraging to my soul. There was a day that I was wrestling with the future of my faith, which sounds kind of crazy, but if you remember those times, those teenage years and those early 20s when you're taking a minute and you're like, do I believe? Do I want to walk with this the rest of my life? Maybe you came to faith later and that's totally okay. But just, I was in this moment where I was wondering, I was like, is this crazy? Can this faith sustain me? Like, is it actually a rock that I could build the rest of my life upon? How can I be sure that the Christian thing is not just a fairy tale that was taken too seriously by some zealots? How do I know that this Christian faith continues and doesn't have an end, that it keeps going? And then as I looked across the congregation, I was encouraged because I was by no means, especially as a teenager, I was by no means the smartest guy in the room. I was by no means the most talented. I didn't know, I didn't have all the answers. I wasn't the wisest. I wasn't the most experienced. And yet all of these people that trumped me in every single way, that they had lived more life. They had learned more things. They had seen more events. All of them had come to this conclusion that Christ was worthy of our worship. He was worthy of our submission, that following him was worth it. And it encouraged me. It's actually one of the few things, if anyone has followed me on social media, you might know I don't post all that often. But it deserved, like, I posted about it all those years ago. I was like, this is worth a post. Because it encouraged me to know that I wasn't the only person in the room dedicated to this. Like, I wasn't the only one, you know, after a couple thousand years, was like, I think this old dude from way back when is still pretty cool. It's like, no, this is something where people have confessed the name of Christ and it has sustained them through life, and they have testimony after testimony. Furthermore, being a part of a church, you have the opportunity to get involved in larger ministries than when you were on your own. In church ministry, when you're just walking around on your own, you might be able to help one person, or you might be able to help a couple people. But being a part of a larger ministry gives us a place to come together, to pool our resources together, to bring our resources together, to achieve a goal that was bigger than any one of us could have done individually. It's the ministry that we can do in the community. When we come together, we have a unified vision, a unified, you know, I think of some great churches that have these mottos that bind them all together. One of the ones I remember hearing growing up was, whoever finds God finds life. And there was just this moment where everyone in the congregation always said it. And it didn't matter where we were in the community. Like, it was this larger ministry that we were all a part of that brought us all together under a unifying banner. I think of ministries like Embrace Grace, where young women can learn what it means to be a mother, or be encouraged in those moments where they're not really sure if they want to go on being a mother. And in Embrace Grace, they bring themselves together. They bring some resources together to begin teaching these young women and recently young men to be young parents, especially those who were not expecting to be or perhaps didn't want to be when the journey of pregnancy began. Furthermore, I think of the choir at that church I grew up in. Any one of those individuals, I had sat with them and I had listened to them singing. I was like, you know, brother Jimothy can't sing all that well. Brother Jim, he doesn't carry a tune all that well. But then when you put him alongside all his brothers and sisters in the choir, there was this beautiful harmony that took place. When they all sang in unison, worshiping the king, a greater ministry than any one of them could have sustained on their own. Furthermore, I think of Center of Hope here at Waterhouse that we serve once a month. The ministry that takes place there is greater than any one person could have accomplished on their own, or even just a couple people could have accomplished. I also think of the nativity we do around Christmas time and all the people that we reach. All the families that we bring in, we're able to just tell them outrightly, here's the story of Christ, our Savior who came to be born in a manger, that the invisible God was made incarnate, that he came and he was the incarnation. And all the ministry that can take place because we brought ourselves together under a unifying banner, under the unifying name of Christ, and we're able to launch into this ministry together. Furthermore, I think of church relationships. Relationships with people that it might not be a deep relationship, but you know a little bit about their story. Over this past summer, we've had no shortage of stories of individuals that perhaps you don't know them personally, but you have heard it mentioned from the pulpit, or you've heard it mentioned in our volunteer meetings of moments where someone in our congregation needed assistance, and we saw what the Lord did in their life. We saw how you can see major miracles across the congregation, like children being born, and marriages being stepped into. And you can see across the congregation a guy that you know, he's like a couple months ago when he showed up, you were like, hey guys, there's that dude in the corner. And you were like worried about him. And then a couple months go by and he's cleaned up a little bit. And he's, not that the cleaning up is a major deal, but that it's indicative of something in his spirit began to come alive. Someone who came in with his shoulders hunched and constantly, you could tell that he was just anxious about everything was going on. You see him begin to walk straight back. You see his shoulders roll back and you see a gleam begin to enter his eyes again. And you might not know him, but you can see the outward expression of the Lord working on the inside. Yes. And you can see these testimonies across the congregation and it encourages you. And part of how that takes place, part of how that happens is you just get around the body of believers. You get around them. You see the Lord begin to work in their life. This brings us to our small groups. We have two types of small groups. We have seasonal and life groups. I want to talk to you about seasonal first. Seasonal meaning it's for a couple weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. They might go a little bit longer, but we band together for a particular purpose, a thing that we're doing for a season to just get to know one another, to experience something together, to perhaps meet some people that you don't necessarily know, but to get involved in the congregation, to begin hearing testimonies of what God has done in our congregation. We have a couple videos that we're going to play just so that you can meet some of them, and they'll be up on the screen.
Hi, Waterhouse family. My name is Deanna. My seasonal study is going to be on unforgiveness and healing. The book study is by Bruce Wilkinson, and it's called 70 times 7. It's an 8-week study. We will watch a video, we will do the study together, and we will discuss. And the purpose is to help women heal, forgive, let go, and grow in Christ. Meet on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We can do 6 to 8 if it's more convenient. We're going to start with, obviously, opening prayer and praise time. We will watch the video together. We will do the book study. We will discuss, and we can discuss throughout the week if needed. And I hope to see you guys there.
Hi, church. My name is Brian, and I'm starting a Waterhouse Writers group. We will meet the first and third Saturday at 11 a.m. at Pick Roasters Coffee in Weatherford. Whether you like to write poems, screenplays, short stories, sermons, chapters for novels, or song lyrics, please bring them. We will workshop as a group and offer friendly feedback. We read each other's drafts and talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and how we think you can make your draft better. Each writer should feel encouraged and have new ideas for their draft. Hope to see you there.
My name is Rebecca Bowman, and my small group is called Surrendered Motherhood, and it was created just for you, whether you're a first-time mom, an empty nester, or somewhere in between. This group is about surrendering our roles as mothers, pressing pause, and letting God meet us in the middle of our mess. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to show up. We meet on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. at my house. I hope to see you there.
My name's Tim McNutt, and I'm starting a small group. It's called Altarship. It's building an altar out of your life and combining that with worship. They kind of go hand in hand. We'll be starting on September 25th. We're going to meet at 7 o'clock at Cartwright Park in Weatherford. It's for ages 10 and up. Everybody else is invited. We'd love to see you there. Have a great day.
Hey, everyone. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Stephanie. And we've been besties for years and also share a strong passion for the outdoors.
Steph loves to kayak, and I'm more of a boat angler. So we'd both be learning something new fishing on the banks. We want to bring people together to relax, fish, and share the word.
God blessed us with the passion and opportunity, and we wanted to take it and share it with anyone who wants a piece of it.
We'd like to share and discuss scripture, comparing it to our weekly struggles we have within the group. Expect fun and the love of God. So come all who are 18 and over and share the passion of the outdoors and join us on the banks of Weatherford every Sunday from 4 to 6 to share the word.
Hi, my name is Karen Bastable, and I am starting a small group for Waterhouse Church, and we are going to be doing Shop and Shine. So we're going to meet at Panera at 6:30 on Thursdays, and then we'll go after that to either TJ Maxx or another shopping area, and from there we will get to just shine and share the love of Christ with people. And one of those things is just being nice to people, and part of the goal is just to get used to encouraging strangers. So we'd love for you to come. We're going to shop and shine and hang out at Panera.
We'll meet every Saturday from 3 to 5. We'll study any kind of stitching that you can think of. We know someone who can knit, crochet, we'll embroidery, quilt. We'll be happy to have you. Come see us. We'll be every Saturday. Men, women, we probably need to keep it for children above 10 just because there's so many sharp objects. Looking forward to seeing you. Thanks.
Marriage is a beautiful gift from God, full of love, laughter, and companionship.
But let's be honest, it's not always easy. Miscommunication, unmet expectations, and life's pressures can take a toll.
Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there now.
But God designed marriage to reflect His love. And with faith, grace, and perseverance, even the hardest of seasons can lead to something stronger.
That's why we invite you to join marriage. The good, the bad, and the ugly. A small group designed to help couples navigate the highs and lows of marriage through faith.
We'll explore communication, commitment, and the power of forgiveness so that your marriage can be everything God intends it to be.
No marriage is perfect, but every marriage can grow. Join us and discover how God can strengthen your relationship inside and out.
So sign up today. Your marriage is worth it.
Hi, everybody. We are the Wilmots, and we would love for you to join us for
Praise Him in the Park.
I want to dance like David. I want a faith like Paul. I want to sing like Silas tearing down the prison walls. I want to face that fire. It won't burn me, though. God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I want to walk like Moses. Right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land, no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, it can't take out my faith. I'm gonna praise, I praise the mountain, moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna praise, I'm gonna praise, I praise the heaven seated, undefeated, highest of names. That's who I praise, hey, that's who I praise.
Hello everybody, on each first and third Sunday, we are going to meet up at the park to have some Jesus fun. And we are going to share the love of Jesus with everyone. Everyone is welcome. Bye!
We have our little QR code. And it's the best way if you've never joined a seasonal group or a small group or anything like that. If you're just wanting to just kind of test it out, be like, what is it like to get with people once a week and just start doing stuff and get with people that perhaps aren't just random people that share an interest in a hobby, but rather they are people that also call upon the name of Christ. People that also believe in praying when things get hard. People that also believe that Scripture is a positive reference when you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do next. And so if you follow the QR code or if you have the Church Center app, you can go to the signups page or the groups page in Church Center and you can see all the groups that are listed there. Moving from community within a church, I want to move into community within small groups. Because community within a church, you guys are here already. You got like most of you already believe in the worship that takes place in the church. Most of you already believe in the power of Sundays. Maybe you're just here for a checkbox, and let me tell you, there's so much more than just the checkbox. But I want to talk to you about the community of being within a small group, what it means to get close to people. In small groups, you develop interpersonal relationships, and some of those will develop into lifelong familial ties. You take people under your wing, and you can be taken under another's wing. You begin to trudge life together, all the stickiness and the messiness of life. You begin to walk that together, encouraging one another to keep going, as Paul says, to continue fighting the good fight, to run the race to win, to do well. You trudge life together, taking care to watch over one another, to guard one another, to be like, hey, like remember, like, you tried that out before in your life and it didn't work out. Let's keep walking the straight and narrow together. You find deeper meaning in everything that was just surface level at the church. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in the power that takes place in the altar and the miraculous chains that can be broken at the altar and in a church service. I've been in church services where miraculous things and signs and wonders have taken place. But I've seen far more moments sitting in the living room of someone where we allowed someone into our life or someone was willing to step into our life. Perhaps you're a host and you've seen the power of someone else who's never really given people a try, and then they step into your home and you see his walls begin to fall down. Worship as it pertains to small groups in a small group worship setting. It is one thing, I mentioned watching the congregation, it's one thing to be encouraged watching the worship of those you know about. But it's far more encouraging to watch the worship of someone you know. Someone that you know deeply and intimately. Someone that you know has been through some stuff. And you know their story. You're intimately aware of it. You were there when they lost someone. You were there when they got married for the first time. You were there when their marriage fell apart. And yet they still stand and say, God is good. I think of my parents, who I have the privilege of calling them brother and sister in Christ. And quite frankly, just to be honest, there was a time in which I wasn't sure if I could call my father brother in Christ. And then there was this moment where we began to watch as the Lord moved in our family and it changed things around. And now I've walked with them for a time as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've seen God do things in their life. And there's a total different rekindling that takes place when I hear my father lift his voice and worship, or when I see my mother get down to pray in reverence to a king. And it encourages me in a much deeper fashion. Furthermore, the relationships of being in a small group. It is in small groups that you find hunting buddies and football Sunday buddies, or small groups where you find people to crochet with or to make things with, to create with. It is in small groups that you find people to watch shows and go see movies and go on double dates with. It's in small groups that you find people to make inside jokes with. I didn't know the glory of an inside joke until like I made my first one. It was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I grew up And as I grew up a little bit and went to college and had to kind of remake friendships because I moved away to college. And then furthermore, when I moved back from college and began working, I suddenly realized how much I missed something as simple as an inside joke, because the people I worked with, I wasn't close to. And so I was looking for community. And it's in small groups that you find that. It's in small groups, especially life groups, that you begin to find that. Because we know that making friends and developing friendships is a difficult task as an adult. You feel like you're too busy, that you're all over the place. However, I have found that those that I grew close to were not necessarily those that I immediately got along with first or those that I had the most in common with initially, but rather they were the people that I dedicated myself to and that dedicated themselves to me. They were the people that I knew I could call and the people that I knew would call me if they never heard from me. They are the people that I made a decision to spend time with consistently and as abundantly as I could. So we have some life group videos. We're going to watch those. And these are going to be people that are meeting all year.
Hi, I'm Cassie.
And I'm Jessica. And we're Patio Pals.
You can come join us every first and third Sunday of the month at 5 o'clock at Buzzy's Taco Shop here in Weatherford.
But only if you're a woman, 20 and up.
So, hope to see you there.
Can't wait.
Dave, we're in Weatherford.
Pals.
We,
Jessica, and we're back.
20, I think. And we are,
and we're back.
Okay. Already miss on the first.
Hello, I'm Brad.
And I'm Rachel.
Hey, we have a life group every second and fourth Saturday of every month. And what we're doing is we're unpacking the message sometimes, or sometimes we're just talking about Jesus and going deeper.
You need somebody to lift you up?
You need someone just to hang out with?
Need somebody to pray for you?
We got you.
Good morning. My name is Janelle, and I want to welcome you to our life group. We meet the second and fourth Sundays from 2 to 4. We've had our group started about a year and a half ago. We've gone to the movies together, we've had cookouts, we've had game times, you know, things like that. And most of the time we will discuss the sermons, we pray for one another, we praise God together, and just learn more about Him so that we can grow closer in our walk and help each other to and support each other and things like that. So if you'd love to be a part, we'd love to have you, and you'd be welcome at the table. Have a great day.
Hi guys, my name is Charisse Glaze, and I am starting a small group called Forever in Our Hearts. This group is intended for any parent or grandparent that has lost a child or grandchild. Our group will be meeting the third Thursday of every month. This group is intended for anyone that is going through the struggles of child loss and just needs some encouragement. The Bible verse that I will be pulling from is John 16:22. The sadness you have right now is similar to that pain. The coming joy is also similar. When I see you again, you will be full of joy, and it will be a joy no one can rob from you. I hope.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today? My name is James Williams, and this is my beautiful wife, Dr. Stephanie Williams.
We are starting a group on Sundays. It's the first and third Sunday of the month. It's going to go from 5 to 7. We are going to have Sunday dinner, and we are going to talk about theology and the Bible and the sermon, and we are also going to do a lot of praying. Every age is welcome. If you have children, if you don't have children, you're welcome. If you're younger, you're welcome. If you're older, you're welcome. Whatever stage of life you are at, we would be excited to have you over for Sunday dinner and prayer, and to talk about scripture.
I think that's it.
All right. See you guys soon.
Hi, Waterhouse Church. I'm Jared.
And I'm Zach.
And we are the Trophy Wives.
Our group is I Do, God and Marriage. And our goal is to keep God at the center of our marriage through relationship building, fellowship, and devotionals. We'll be meeting on the second and fourth Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. at
Cherry Park, right here in Weatherford, Texas. We'd like to invite all engaged couples and any couples who have been married 7 years or less. If you have any further questions about the group or just want to know more about the group, feel free to reach out to us via the Church Center app or come see us on Sunday mornings during service here at Waterhouse Church.
We hope to see you there.
Hi, we're Bob and Rena Hampton. We lead the Boomer Zoomers group.
There are a lot of great small groups here at Waterhouse Church. But if you're looking for friends that remember watching Elvis or the Beatles on Ed Sullivan TV or when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, you'll probably fit right in with Boomer Zoomers. We like to think that we're a fun group. We get together monthly for Bible study, and occasionally we get out for fun events when we can.
We meet the second Saturday of every month. We'd love to see you there. And if you look for us in church, this is where you'll find us.
Our life groups are a huge push for us. A place that we believe that we as the believers go from just being individuals who recognize one another on a Sunday to rather brothers and sisters in Christ who are walking life and doing life together, bearing one another's burdens. It's the place where we believe that as iron sharpens iron, so one man shall sharpen another, or as one believer shall sharpen another. It's the place where we believe that discipleship and encouragement has its root. Because when we meet together here, again, we're bringing our resources and we're lifting up corporate worship and we're excited about what God is doing. But if all you ever find is here, I would beg to say that you'll quickly run dry. You'll quickly have this moment where you're like, I'm not close to anybody. Nobody showed up at my house for all the things that we tried to do, all the ways that we tried to make sure that you're staying connected, that you are cared for well. In this large group setting, it's really easy to get lost, or even worse, for you to hide. But in a small group, you can't hide. You can't fake it for very long before a bad day at work turns into you snapping at someone in your group to them then having the opportunity to give a kind word and turn away your wrath. It's that moment where you begin to recognize you have shoulders to cry on. You have people to stand next to you when you need lifted up. You have people to just listen to you when you were looked over for your promotion or passed up for that raise you were expecting. There are people to stand beside you as you do life. It's in small groups where you start to see proper discipleship. And it's difficult for most to attend church and oust themselves as struggling. Or perhaps you're willing to admit you struggle, but you're not really willing to talk about what it is. You're like, yeah, we all got struggles. Amen. And then you leave. And it's like, no. There's something more to that. There's, in fact, this gospel that we believe in is more than just, and I'm struggling and I'm struggling and I'm struggling. Okay. The gospel we believe in is beyond that, that there is a life abundantly for you. And it's found in the community of believers. It's found in Christ, in those Christ-centered relationships that we build up together. We see walls begin to crumble. He who has an addiction can find accountability. She who is alone can find fellowship. He who is easily angered can be challenged with a kind word. She who has been mistreated can learn to trust again. All of these can be addressed at the larger assembly. Like, we can address it from the pulpit. We can pray about it. And again, I believe in the power of prayer at the altar and the miraculous moments. But then when you go home, did you take it with you? The small group helps you to take it home. And to live it at home, because they'll ask you about it. Like they will, because you'll begin to develop friendships with them. And friends tend to kind of know what's up in your business. Like they know what's going on in your life. And they ask you what's been going on. Furthermore, when you're a new Christian, when you're new, perhaps some of you are new to this, coming to church might do good and help you in major worldview things like idolatry and recognizing how perhaps you're not spending your money in the way that you should, or perhaps you're not treating people the way that you should, or perhaps you misread that piece of scripture. But it's in small groups that you can be discipled in the way of Christ. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's in small groups that you find the Pauls that are crying out from the shore saying, hey, the shore's over here. You can get out of the water. You don't have to swim or tread water in the ocean. The promised land's over here. Come this way. Follow me as I follow Christ. Just a bit of my testimony, what I've seen in small groups, what I've seen take place. I've watched skeptics won over by the acceptance of strong believers. Those who doubted yet still showed up to a small group recognized that the strong believers didn't have any intention of kicking them out. Broken marriages restored at the discipleship of an older couple. Your marriage is not over, and I would beg to say that if you stood before God and made vows that the Lord is fighting for your marriage, if you would be willing to be discipled, okay? Scripture challenged. I've seen in small groups, Scripture challenged and then prevail. Where someone is like, you know, I don't really believe, like, that scripture's kind of outdated, it's kind of old, I don't know if it stands. And then you have veteran believers in there mixed in with the newbies, shall we say. And it's like, let me teach you that this prevails, that scripture can be backed up. I've seen tears cried and hugs given, food shared and prayer lifted. I have seen worship offered and phone numbers blocked. I have seen anxieties erased, repentance begun. I have watched books get burned, alcohol poured out, bongs broken. I've seen brokenness mended, forgiveness sought, and forgiveness given. Small groups is the place where you take the nuances of your individual life, the nuances of your independency, and you bring it before a body of believers, before a group of people that you have begun to trust because you've been spending so much time together. And you can take it to the foot of the cross and you're not alone. Worship team, if y'all could come forward. Altar team, if y'all could step forward. See, we believe that Christ set this example of community. It's not just something that we kind of picked up along the way as we were going. It's not something that we as a church made up, but rather something that we recognize that the ministry of the church is for large things and large gatherings. But when it comes to the nuances of your life, where it's like, that is a great idea, Pastor. That's a really great idea to preach from, but you don't get it. I've been through XYZ. And I could tell you, if I had a chance to personally sit down with each and every one of you, I could myself tell you about here's how the XYZ was also in my life, and I still came to the conclusion that Christ was worth following, that he was good and righteous. But even atheists believe that we only have a certain capacity for the number of relationships that we have. There's only so much. Even Jesus, he turns away the demoniac in the Decapolis. He says, no, you can't come with me. Go back into your city. And we could argue like Jesus didn't have a capacity, but you get what I'm saying? Like he just took a group of people. He's like, I'm going to start with this group. And he called each of them to go and to make disciples. Discipleship is not a large gathering type thing. Discipleship is intimate and close. If you would all rise. So tonight, I preach on Wednesdays. So this morning, this afternoon, if you will, I want to pray two things over you, and I want to challenge you in two ways. First being this: if you're new to this Christian thing, if you're not sure if you want to fully dive into it, check out a small group. Get involved with some people. Don't give up on them after two instances where you're like, we didn't make any inside jokes, this isn't working well. Stay for months and try it. You miss 1 month, so it's like, okay, maybe November's really busy for you. Come back in January and keep going. Let them see you for months. See them for months. Dedicate yourself to one another. And for those of you who might be believers, but you have a hard time trusting because you trusted believers once and you found that they were meaner than those you work with, I invite you to come to the altar and lay that down and lean back into community. Lean back into the body of believers that we are. Lean back into that which Christ left us with to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens, to lift one another up. So I'm going to pray for you guys. And when I say amen, if you're a new believer and you're doubting, come get prayer. They might encourage you to step in. But what if they lie to me? What if they offend me? What if they're rude to me? They might. Because we're human. But I can tell you that there is a bonding that takes place between those who are willing to give forgiveness, to seek forgiveness, and to be bound up together with Christ. So I'm going to pray for you. When I say amen, if you're in that boat where you want it and it's just, you're just holding back, come and get prayer at the altar. Father, Father, even by the notion that you have introduced yourself as Father, it is your design that would be in community, both together and with you. Father, would you move our hearts that we might be quick to forgive? Would you cause all unforgiveness or hesitation to fall off? Father, would you let this be in our being, that we might know that we would be open to being discipled, that we would make this a priority. Not that we would look if we have time, but we would make it a priority. It is in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.